There have been churches where men have preached the truth and it wasn't liked, and the preacher was forced to leave the church merely because he preached the truth of God, and those who were unregenerate, unrighteous, who formed the church did not want to hear about sin, righteousness, and the wrath which is to come. Some can look at the difficult task in front of them. They can think, well, if we look at righteousness, if we look at godliness, the church and the people are too far gone to make any real change. The spiritual condition of the church to some is not worth fighting for, and they let error take root, and they forget their need of the Spirit of God and His power in changing hearts.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us
as we let the Bible speak. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to continue a consideration of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. How important these things are, dear believer, how important they are in your life. These things come into our lives because of the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Let's go to our message, Vital Directions for Life. May the Lord bless His word to your soul. May He enable us to live a life of righteousness and godliness for our Savior.
We can imagine a situation, and we alluded to it just a moment ago, of how the minister can know the truth of God and stand for the truth of God and preach the truth of God and hold firm to what is sin and preach against it. And those in the pew don't like it because they're unregenerate. They want to live in sin. They don't want to serve Christ. Dear congregation, you are not to be like that. Christ has redeemed you and saved you from sin. You're to flee sin and unrighteousness. This command that Paul has given to Timothy to flee these things applies to you. And how can the minister of God fully abide by this command to flee these things if there is not the support from the people of God? We stand together. The minister preaches the truth, and the congregation that love the truth support the minister in preaching that truth. And as the minister preaches against sin and the desire to flee these things, the congregation are to rejoice in that. They're to listen. They're to follow. If it is that there is something there and it's hurting your heart, and you realize that there's a sin in your life, well, examine yourself in the sight of God. Could it be that the preacher who's bringing God's word is right? Could it be that you truly are sinning in some way? Then humble your heart and look to the Lord. Examine yourself. Timothy was to flee these things, but in many ways, to be able to truly stand for Christ, the people of God needed to flee those things as well. Dear believer, do you have a desire to flee from sin? That your sin, that your iniquity, whatever sin you might do, will not affect the work and witness of Christ's church. How many times that has happened? There has been sin, not in the pulpit. Often there's been sin in the pulpit. We're to pray for God's help and strength regarding that. But there's been sin in the congregation. And oh, how that has affected the congregation of Christ. Oh, that we would flee sin. That we would live for these things. That Christ would be glorified. And that we, as the Lord's people, will truly be the witnesses that we need to be for our Lord and for our Master. We're to flee the love of money. We're to flee false teaching. We're to flee all those attitudes that can hinder the work of God. It should be our desire that the gospel ministry, the preaching of the gospel continues, that we continue to reach out, that we continue to do what we can for the service of Christ, that we continue to preach godliness and preach righteousness. And so let us support that. Let us pray for that, that we would indeed flee sin. But secondly, I want you to note the end of verse 11. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Our second thought is follow Christ. There is the negative, fleeing from sin, but now there is the positive of following after Christ and desiring the fruit of the Spirit. And this list before us can be easily summed up as follow Christ. We're to flee sin. And if you want good direction for your life, Flee sin. Flee the wrath of God that comes because of sin. Dear unbeliever, flee your sin. Flee unto Christ for redemption. Flee sin and follow Christ. And this is something that needs to be characteristic in all of us, that we be followers of the Savior. The term Christian refers to those who were believers in Antioch. They were followers of Christ, and therefore they were called Christians. They were called Christ's ones. They belonged to Christ. It was noted they were saved. It was noted that they belonged to the Savior. And so those in Antioch referred to them as Christians, Christ's ones. The name of Christ was upon them. And dear believer, you and I who have been saved by the power of the gospel, the name of Christ is upon us. If we are truly saved and redeemed, we too are Christ's ones. And therefore, are we following our Savior? Are we living for Him? In John chapter 10 and the verse 27, the Word of God says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the people of God are often referred to as sheep. They're to follow after the Lord. They're to hear the voice of Christ and follow Him in the ways and the paths of righteousness. The Savior said to His disciples in Matthew 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The gospel of Christ is all about fleeing sin and following after Christ. We can only do that if we know Christ as Savior. We consider the mortification of sin this morning in the adult Bible class, moving on from that, and we consider it about the importance, as John Owen points out, of the foundation for mortifying or putting to death the sins of the flesh. What is that foundation? It is a foundation of Christ. You cannot mortify sin. You cannot live righteously without that foundation of knowing Christ as Savior. What of your salvation today? Can you say, "I have that foundation"? It's there, it's in my life, it's present. It's a foundation built by Christ through His gospel and through His salvation. I'm resting today not on my righteousnesses, not on my works. I'm resting upon Christ. Our hearts are rebellious by nature. Our hearts are sinful. Our hearts are wicked. But yet the gospel of Christ changes us. And oh, dear believer, that we would follow the Savior. We can think of the demoniac of Gadara, that man who was filled with the spirits, the devils. The Savior cleansed him. He cut himself. We could use the modern day word, we could say he was crazy because of all these things. What a sorry state this man was in. And Christ changed him. What did he want to do? What did he do? He desired to follow Christ, to leave with Him, to go with Him, to be with Him. And the Savior says, "No, stay home. Go back to your city and tell them all of the great things that were done." And he went back and told and published in his city the great things that God had done. And yes, he was following Christ, but his desire was to be physically with the Savior. The desire was there. Christ had changed him. He wasn't going to sit in the tombs and cut himself. He wasn't going to go and be a terror to other people. He wasn't going to go and get a bad name and a bad reputation in the city anymore. His life was changed. He wanted to be with Christ. And dear believer, your life has been changed. Do you desire to follow after Christ, to live for Him, to know His word, to know the fellowship of His people, to grow in grace and to grow in the doctrine of Christ, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? If we turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see this, verse 11. Timothy, as the man of God, is to follow after these things. There are six things here. And no doubt we know much about these six things. They correspond a little bit when we think of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And these things are not the origin of salvation. These things are the fruit of salvation. Timothy has been saved and redeemed. He's to flee sin, and he's to follow after Christ and follow after and desire the fruit of the Spirit within his life. Dear believer, is there evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? If you took a plant and you desired to grow this tree, to grow this plant, a tomato plant or an apple tree or something like that, and you planted the little seed, and eventually it sprouted, would there not be excitement? As it began to grow and get bigger and bigger, and you cared for it, would there not be great joy as you see this plant come alive, as it were? And then the fruit begins to grow. And as that fruit grows, you're looking forward to the day where that fruit will come to its perfection, and you can take it, and you can eat it, or you can pass it on to your friends. You can enjoy the fruit of that tree. Dear believer, that is what you and I are to be like in the sight of God. We are to be those that produce fruit. Because like Psalm 1, we are planted by the rivers of water, planted by Christ who waters us, Christ and His Spirit who works within us and enables us to bring forth fruit. And we see firstly righteousness. Righteousness. This term refers to what is right unto God and man. There's an outward aspect here. All of one's behavior is to be geared toward righteousness and righteous living. We're reminded in Isaiah 64, verse 6, of the reality of our righteous works ourselves. For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, dirty and vile in the sight of God. And that is true for the unbeliever, the unrepentant sinner. Any work of righteousness, any good thing you try to do in the sight of God is like filthy rags. They cannot earn you salvation. All your good works cannot save or redeem your soul. You need the Savior. And it is Christ who fills us. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you desire, do you hunger and thirst after righteousness today? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you. The people of God are changed by Christ to be righteous. In Philippians chapter 1, the verse 11, the apostle prays for those within the church at Philippi, and he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That's his prayer, that these individuals, this church, would be filled like trees of righteousness, fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What a great verse that is. What a true prayer that needs to be prayed by us. Dear believer, have you considered righteousness, the fruits of righteousness within your life, your need to display those fruits? Our fruitfulness is not present by nature because of our sin and our iniquity. We cannot bring forth fruit for the Savior in our state of sin and iniquity. We need repentance and faith in Him. Our fruitfulness is rooted in Christ. Timothy is being commanded here to follow after righteousness, and he can only do that because of his Savior, because of the Christ who died upon the cross, because of the Christ who redeemed him. We can think of the Savior in John 15, speaking that He is the vine and we are the branches, and in order to bear fruit, we need to abide in Him. The expectation of the Lord is that we would be a fruitful people unto righteousness. O believer, that you would know the working of God within your heart and soul, that you would follow after righteousness, that unrighteousness, the acts of sin, would be left behind, and that which is good and wholesome would be followed. It is a spiritual work. It's a work by which we need the Spirit of God to move within our hearts, but it is a fruitfulness that is purposed to the glory of God. Our fruitfulness brings glory to God. Paul is saying here to Timothy, follow after righteousness. The man of God who is righteous brings glory to God. And dear congregation, if you desire today to be righteous, it is not for your glory, it is for the glory of Christ. We are to follow after these things for the glory of our God. We are not to bring forth these things for our own selves. Righteousness. Well, we rejoice in the righteousness of Christ that was imputed to us. We rejoice in that work of Christ that makes our righteous acts possible. But our righteousness, that is good works, not the source of salvation. Oh, you desiring to be a righteous believer, to be one who is truly of God, one who flees sin, follows after righteousness, connected with that, secondly, is godliness. This is an internal aspect, godliness within the heart and soul. Oh, that we would mortify sin, we would mortify the deeds of the flesh, that we would have a life that is godly. Paul spoke about the great gain of godliness. We've considered that. Being content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. John Flavel, the Puritan, said, brethren, it is easier to declaim against 1,000 sins of others than to mortify one sin in ourselves. What is he saying? It is easier to point out your sin and your sin and your sin rather than our own sin. Much easier. And how often we do that. When we think of this, what is he saying? It is easier to cry out against the lack of godliness in others than to turn round and to look at the godliness within our own hearts.
Today takes us to Genesis chapter 25 and the verse 11. Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Hagar had once found deliverance there, and Ishmael had drank from the water so graciously revealed by the God who liveth and seeth the sons of men. This was a merely casual visit, such as worldlings pay to the Lord in times of need, when it serves their turn. They cry to him in trouble, but forsake him in prosperity. Isaac dwelt there, and made the well of the living and all-seeing God his constant source of supply. The usual tenor of a man's life, the dwelling of his soul, is the true rest of his state. Perhaps the providential visitation experienced by Hagar struck Isaac's mind and led him to revere the place. Its mystical name endeared it to him. His frequent musings by its brim at eventide made him familiar with the well. His meeting Rebecca there had made his spirit feel at home near the spot, but best of all, the fact that he there enjoyed fellowship with the living God had made him select that hallowed ground for his dwelling. Let us learn to live in the presence of the living God. Let us pray the Holy Spirit that this day and every other day we may feel, Thou, God, seest me. May the Lord Jehovah be as a well to us, delightful, comforting, unfailing, springing up unto eternal life. The bottle of the creature cracks and dries up, but the well of the Creator never fails. Happy is he who dwells at the well, and so has abundant and constant supplies near at hand. The Lord has been a sure helper to others. His name is Shaddai, God all-sufficient. Our hearts have often had most delightful intercourse with him. Through him our soul has found their glorious husband, the Lord Jesus. And in him this day we live and move and have our being. Let us then dwell in closest fellowship with him. Glorious Lord, constrain us that we may never leave thee, but dwell by the well of the living God. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for listening to our program today. Join us tomorrow, the usual times of 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station as we consider the Word of God again. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.